Carol Van Slyke is the chair of the board of directors for the Peace River Regional Women's Shelter Society. She joins us on the line today. Carol, thank you very much for joining us. As a little bit of an icebreaker, Carol, how are things going right now at the women's shelter, despite the situation that seems to be happening right now?
Our staff and our board are working really strongly together, and we are providing as much service as we can under the circumstances. Unfortunately, at this moment in time, we are not able to take women and families into the emergency shelter. However, we are still taking emergency phone calls. We are still trying to offer service and suggestions and such like for any of the women who are in need, and to try to make sure that they are cared for.
Carol, I apologize if I'm being a little blunt with this question, but how much of an inconvenience was this to the shelter when this discovery was discovered?
Inconvenience is a pretty small word for what it was. What it meant is that black mold, of course, is toxic. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the windows were, the initial thing that happened was we were doing a general maintenance of replacing windows and putting up siding. And that was all the project was supposed to encompass. And when we opened up the windows, or when the contractors did, extensive black mold was discovered. And the moment it was discovered, we had to go into protect mode because of the toxicity. And so immediately we were having to move any of the women who were and families that were in our shelter to a safe location. We had to take into consideration what each of their individual situations were to make sure that they were going into a safe situation. So that was our priority. And then our next priority, of course, was our staff, because we can't have them working in a toxic location. And so we, it turned out that one section of our shelter was not at risk of toxicity. There was a number of barriers, air barriers that had to be put into place to make sure that that area of the shelter was protected, so our staff could still work in the office area. So that was our next thing. And then, of course, business, you know, women needing help doesn't stop because you don't have a shelter that's mm-hmm. up and running, and need continues. And so we needed to find ways in which we could meet those needs the best way that we could, often with having to make suggestions about other shelters that they could access. There was also some temporary locations that we could put them in until, you know, their situation was such that they could go to another location. So we did a lot of innovative and creative thinking and triaging, and we continue to do so right now. Meanwhile, from the board viewpoint, we needed to get the space up and running as quickly as possible. So we had to, first of all, we had to have an air quality company come in, check for all of the different areas to make sure we knew exactly what we were dealing with. It was confirmed we were dealing with toxic black mold, as we suspected, but it had to be confirmed. We had a company come in, I believe had connections with Cadott Lake as far as workers go. They came in and they did the initial remediation, which is like tearing out the boards, clearing out the black mold. There was like special sealants that had to be put on. After all of that got done, we had to bring in the air people again to confirm that, in fact, it was now safe. So we did all of those things. We are working with a local contractor who's also working with local subcontractors. That was very important to the board that we employed local people to attend to the things that need to be done. in the efforts to get to the black mold, we had to strip everything back, like, you know, drywall's down, flooring's cleared up, like, everything's down to, you know, the bare bones of joists and such like.
Mm-hmm.
The bathrooms, of course, were, because that's where water collects as well, the bathrooms had to all be gutted, the laundry room had to be gutted, the kitchen had to be gutted. It was a very, very extensive situation.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is now done, and we have the all clear from Alberta Health as well as from the air quality testing. And so now we're putting it back together again, and which is also a big cost because, you know, for example, all of the cabinets in the kitchen had to be removed. Anything that is soft, like a mattress or a cloth couch, had to be thrown away and be replaced with new because you can't get the mold out of those types of surfaces.
Yeah.
And so when all of the dust is clearing, it's looking like, and of course things can change because, you know, we're talking about renovations, but it's looking like about $438,000 to do this repair from start to finish. So it's been a very huge hit financially.
You've had jurisdictions, however, step up with some funding to help you with the repair costs and the replacement costs. How proud are you that the money is coming forward and the financial help is being there?
Our towns and our counties were amazing. They were so supportive. Myself and another board member, Norm DeVal, and I went to the three towns, Manning, Grimshaw, and Peace River. We went to the three counties, the MD of Peace, the County of Northern Lights, and the county, the Northern Sunrise County. All of them were extremely generous. As much as their budgets could allow. And we were, for the most part, most of the locations were able to give us $20,000 a piece. We had a generous loan in addition to $20,000 from Northern Sunrise that we would, if we use it, it'll be we have access to $130,000 that they are loaning to us at interest-free for 2 years. Mm-hmm. The towns also were able to step up as well. I knew our community was going to be supportive. I knew that the people in our area know how important this is. But to have that confirmed was amazing. We've also been reaching out to local businesses, which we're still in the process with. There's been a number of letters have gone out. There's been some replies. There's been, you know, a little bit of what one company gave us some money for from what they could do from their coffers, but they're also sending it up to their head office in the hopes of being able to secure us more. So mm-hmm. we've been able to reach out. The other thing I wanted to mention is a lot of people have been donating, like our local citizens have been donating to the women's shelter. I don't know what the number is right at this minute, but the last time I had checked, we were, you know, past $11,000, mm-hmm. From our community. So, like, we are so fortunate with where we live and the way in which we partner as a community. It's I can't say enough of the support that we've gotten. So that's been awesome.
Through the entire ordeal. From November, which is the discovery, right up until now, how understanding has the staff and clients been of the women's shelter
through this ordeal? Well, the staff has been very right. The staff, of course, has been very understanding. They have really, you know, dug deep. I can't speak as easily about our clients because I'm not in direct contact. Mm-hmm. I don't do, like, the front-end work. And so I don't feel like I can speak knowledgeably about that. I suspect, I haven't heard that that they haven't been understanding and trying to work with us. But I really can't speak directly to that because I don't know.
Okay. Nope, that's fine. Next steps. What in your mind is the next steps? You touched on some of them. The big next steps, what are they?
Okay, well, the first next step is yesterday I was at a provincial meeting that was for the women's shelters of the province and the ministry. And I was able to speak directly to our minister, and he has indicated to me that there is help forthcoming. And I am excited about that because we need that help. And he is well aware of our situation and is definitely going to do his very best to support us. So that was, I found that very comforting because we have not got all the way to the amount of money that we need. So we're looking forward to what the province is going to be able to assist us with. And so that's one big step because, of course, you have to have the money to pay for the contractors. The next thing is the contractors are working very quickly. We explained to them, and they fully understood, that we kind of likened ourselves to like a hospital, that we're an emergency, necessary service, and that we had to be a priority. And they're hoping to have everything put back together and ready to be up and running in March, and which is very speedy considering the size of this project. Mm-hmm. So that our next steps is going to be to get everything put back together again to make it to make it available for use.
Fingers crossed that everything goes well and. Everybody is, everything sort of gets back to normal, I guess, as it were. Is that a true statement? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, we want to be back to normal so badly. And, I mean, as it's going to happen, it's going to be feel like almost a new building just because of the extensiveness of the repairs that had to be done. So I guess, you know, we'll be able to offer a nicer space than what we had before. We didn't want to have to do it quite like this. This wasn't our plan, but it is what happened. There's a silver lining, right, in the storm cloud?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Carol Van Flyke is the chair of the board of directors for the Peace River Regional Women's Shelter Society. Carol, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for listening to us and being a supportive outlet for us as well.